Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks, and Nihei Debiru. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Hi everyone, and thanks for tuning in for a special on-the-road edition of Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. Thanks to everyone who's been listening to the show on iTunes, but we still need a few ratings and reviews before we start showing up on the rankings. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please take the time to give us 5 stars. The next few episodes I recorded during my road trip to Nashville, Tennessee, to work out at James McLean's Kosho School of Karate. But this karate road trip started even before that, as Richard Garrett, one of Mr. McLean's longtime students, rode the bus to Cincinnati to train here for a week, before riding back to Nashville with me. While he was in town, Richard and I sat down at a coffee shop and discussed how we got started in the martial arts, his experiences training with Sensei McLean, and some of our other experiences in the merits of good old-fashioned karate road trips. I had so many good conversations with so many different people during my trip to Nashville, I decided to experiment with the show's format for the next 2 weeks. I'll be releasing 2 slightly shorter shows, one as usual on Sunday and another on Wednesday. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. All right, sitting here with Richard Garrett, the kata and kumite champion for the 2014 USKK Grand National Championships, on a road trip up from Nashville to do some karate.
It's nice to be here with you.
Good.
It's glad to be able to come.
This is our part of our special road trip edition of Chop Talk.
It's been billed as my karate pilgrimage to Cincinnati.
Yeah. It's your first karate road trip all by yourself. But yeah. You work out with Sensei McLean in Nashville, right?
Yes.
How long have you been working out down there?
I want to say it's been 8 years now.
Oh man.
At least 7.
Long time.
But I believe 8 years.
How'd you get started in it? How'd you find those guys? Because he's a really well-known karate guy, but that's not a really visible dojo.
I knew about Mr. McLean. He's friends with my father some time ago. They've known each other for probably 20 or 25 years. And I had met him when I was pretty young, child still, you know, 12, 13 years old.
Okay.
And my dad used to talk him up, oh, he's a really great karate guy and all this, and I wasn't really into that. I was into skateboarding and stuff.
Right. I did the same thing. When I was 6, my grandpa said, you know, Nathan, you should join karate. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that stupid stuff, grandpa. And then, you know, and then 10 years later, here I am, I started, and that's all I was doing. So yeah. I should have listened to him from the beginning. I would have been good by now.
I initially knew about him through my dad, and you know, prior to that, I was taking it offered some taekwondo lessons. I was doing some kind of after school program in my elementary school. I wanted to say I was probably 10-ish, 10, 11. taken some Taekwondo. It's pretty reputable Taekwondo. It's not the sport Taekwondo. A lot of people would refer to that as like Korean karate, you know. It's
okay.
Really
okay.
More traditional.
It wasn't one of these guys who got the Trans-Pacific promotion.
Where you
get on the plane in Seoul, South Korea as a first Don, and you pass over Japan and you become a second Don. You go over Hawaii, third, fourth Don. By the time you land in California, you're a seventh degree great grandmaster.
No. It was done under a man. I couldn't tell you his first name anymore, but Master Ha.
Hall.
Ha.
Ha.
And he was from South Korea.
Okay.
And I think he still lived there and lived in the United States part-time. And I forget exactly association-wise and what that was with. But he had something going at the Vanderbilt University as a club with their, like, rec programs. And one of his senior students, at least in Nashville, was a man named Scott Kinney, who was my first martial arts instructor. And I've still talked to him. I talked with him maybe 6 months ago. I'd had an injury.
Yeah.
He does some sports training and personal training type stuff now,
mm-hmm.
for a career. And I think he still is involved doing that. But he's been doing Taekwondo for, have to be 20 years,
okay.
25 years at this point. He's a good martial arts.
Yeah.
But he was a young guy. He was maybe 25 or 30 when he was teaching those classes.
And how old were you when you were working out there?
I want to say I was about 10. And
okay.
I did that for a few years.
Yeah.
It was really really traditional, you know, a lot of real standards. We did those taikyokus and mm-hmm. things like that, reforms. And it was a good kind of children's program. When my friend Ezra Scott, who's become my karate instructor since then,
and now he's the main instructor at McLean's Kosho School of Karate. He's teaching the day to day classes.
He and my other friend Neil Stinson. And then a couple other guys that I knew, we've all known each other for 15 years, going on 20 years at this point. We all knew each other
kind of high school, junior high.
Yeah, junior high,
okay.
and high school kind of age. They'd start doing that when I was in my early 20s. And I guess Ezra had been working out down there for few years, maybe 4 years, 5 years, when I decided to go down there and give it a go. And it was close to the winter time. It wasn't quite so cold yet. But when it got into the winter time, that's when we really got into it.
And now the thing that everybody should know about that is, at McLean's Kosho School of Karate, there's no heat and there's no air conditioning.
It's just a converted garage.
That's what it's.
It's a really good workout space.
Oh yeah, it is.
It's prone to the elements, and Nashville's not on the extreme end of cold. But you talk about December through February. I mean, it's 20 degrees and into the teens sometimes, and it's just concrete floor with a thin piece of carpet, some of that thin kind of commercial carpet.
Yeah. So you got to wear your winter coat over your karate gi to work out, right?
Yeah. You get a handful of guys in there working. You got to work out hard.
In the wintertime,
you got to work out hard just so you don't freeze to death.
It's either work out hard or snuggle together for warmth, one or the other.
Yeah. You get a good sweat going in there. And everybody's standing at attention, school ready, and you see steam just rising up.
Oh,
it looks like those old kind of football clips from the ice bowl whatever it was. It's a really cool experience in the summertime. Nashville's as hot as can be. You get into the dog days of summer, and we got 7 fans blowing up. It's just blowing hot air.
See, now that's traditional karate. Okinawa is hot, muggy, tropical.
That's cool.
Probably about as close to Okinawa as
that's true. Now, when I was
teaching high school, one of my assignments that I gave to my class, I was teaching English at a high school there, and I gave an assignment to my students right before winter break, and I said, okay, you have to write a few sentences on what you're going to do over winter break, or where you're going to go during winter break, and what you're going to do. So, and then they had to get up and present it, and I would ask a few questions, some of the students could ask a few questions. So, one of the students writes, I am going to Haido Misaki, which is North Point of Okinawa. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's great that you're going there for winter break. And it's about a 90-mile drive up there through the jungle and through the hills and stuff. So it's a nice little trip. And I said, okay, now why are you going there? And her reply was, because I want to see snow.
Oh man,
so
better off going to Buffalo, New York.
I think, but in her mind, she's going north. That's as far north as you can go, you know, in my world, you know, in northern Okinawa, and there must be snow there, you know, it's like the North Pole. But even in Haido Misaki, there's no snow.
No snow. We don't get a lot of snow in Nashville.
Yeah.
More kind of ice storm prone, but I remember I was probably a yellow belt or something. I've been working out there a couple of years, and Mr. McLean came out there, and he'd come in from, he'd walked home, and he was all bundled up, had a toboggan hat on and big gloves and a big snow jacket. It was freezing cold and like sleeping and everything out there. You know, and we were over kind of in our mat room portion of the dojo, which is really just a bunch of carpets and foam and such. And he came out there and still just dressed in his boots and everything else, and he was teaching us Hayatoshi and Ogoshi, working with us on judo stuff.
All right.
And just kind of a sight to see.
judo in a snowmobile suit, basically.
Yeah. Dressed up like Ralphie from Christmas Story.
Did he even have the mittens hanging off? Did he have the mittens hanging off his sleeves?
About like that. He sure enough was doing some judo on people. And he's closer to my size, you know. I'm a little bitty guy, and he's bigger than me, you know, taller. And Mr. Scott Ezra, he's a
big guy. He's
6'2", you know, 200 plus pounds, 225 pound guy. You take Ezra and just jerk him up, flip him around in the air, let his feet way up in the air. Throw them down. And I'm like, all right, now you do it. You know, I'm over there just struggling for everything I could do.
And I remember I came down there for a seminar that he taught maybe, I guess it was a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago.
I think 2 years ago, okay. Summertime.
And he came out, and he had had some a few health problems going into then, but he came out and taught the seminar. And I mean, he put a move on me and put me on my ass. I mean, he grabbed my arm, put me in this wrist lock, and bang, I was down.
Yeah.
So you know, never underestimate those guys. That they might be getting up there in years, but they still have some moves that they can put on you.
Yeah.
Looking for great entertainment? Want to find the best deals on food and drinks? Use the PubPal app to find great establishments near you. View daily specials, find live bands, karaoke, even poetry. If you're looking for something to do, PubPal is the answer, and it's only a click away. Download the app on the Apple Store and get the Android app on Google Play. And don't forget to like them on Facebook. Visit PubPalUSA.com to find out more. That's PubPalUSA. PubPalUSA.
No, he's really in it. Working out there has really been a real privilege because of the environment. I mean, you know, for the last probably 5 years, it's been myself, Ezra, Neil, and they're both senior to me. Ezra Snell, Nidon. Neil will be testing Shodan this coming weekend.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm NICU.
Yeah.
I believe when I started, Ezra was Purple Belt, something like that. And, you know, the same thing that I said, I came in, I knew how to do front stance and a cat stance and kibodachi, things like that.
You worked on the basics, you've done that before.
Some basics, things like that. I was a white belt for, I swear, 18 months or something. You know.
Well, Mr. McLean's not known for being very quick on his promotions.
Not give out right there.
No.
But it's been us three, and there's been some other people at times. Us three, and then another guy, Jason Tillman is his name. And Jason's been there, you know, when I think back on it, Jason's probably been there five, almost 6 years now. He's a purple belt.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still the newcomer in my mind. So,
you guys have a small but really, really good core group of guys. And one of the things about the school is if you want to work out there, you got to be serious about working out. Everybody there is really hardcore. They're really serious. And if you have some guy come in that's kind of wishy-washy or doesn't want to do the calisthenics or, you know, doesn't want to work out in the cold, they're not going to last in that school.
No.
So,
since all of us now are, you know, getting, you know, older than 30, you know, 30 into our mid-30s and such, you know, your little injuries, you know, start to nag you a lot longer. We kind of have this running joke of, well, it's kind of like injuries are about like a white belt or something, you know, but if the injury is not sticking around longer than 6 months, you don't really start to pay attention to it until after that. It's only worth paying attention to maybe go see the doctor if it's still bothering you after 6 or 8 months.
Yeah. They don't even bother learning those white belts' names until they've been around for a year, right?
No, not a lot of newcomers around there, but it has been really special. And the thing that I was trying to get to before, Mr. McLean is you know, really rooted in traditional karate,
mm-hmm.
But also really practical, and that's kind of, you know, some of the thing with Mr. Awad that's so great, you know. So
yeah.
Really having like such a grasp on the form stylistically, mm-hmm. of karate. This sort of makes it a martial art, and the aesthetics of it.
Right.
And then, you know, how, in terms of your kata and things like that, but then also
and then how to use
practicality of real street fighting,
right.
You know, and that's kind of the thing down there too, is that, you know, like me, I'm about 5'6", 130 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Ezra's 6'2", 120, 125 pound kind mm-hmm. of guy, maybe 240. And Neil and Jason both are kind of in the
something
middle, 5'9"-ish, 5'10", you know, 170, 180 pounds. And, but it's all of us are, you know, grown men at this point,
right.
You know. And that's why I started going down there. I was 24, mm-hmm. I think I was roughly 24 when I started working out there. And, you know, when you're a little fellow like me, it's like, mm-hmm. I want to know how to, like, really fight.
Yeah.
You know, and,
because Ezra is a big enough guy that even if he didn't have any karate, he could, you know, push the smaller guys around. But for you, you're really...
At least it'd be tough to beat him up.
Right. But for you, so what has it been for you as, you know, as the smallest guy in that school and that you've been able to... Cause, I mean, last night, you came to class, you sparred, you did great. You know, fought me and the other guys that are bigger than you, you're able to get in on them. I mean, what is it that...
I really have this weird perception of the world. I think
I grew up. You have a Napoleon complex, don't you?
Yeah, I guess I
okay,
do.
Yeah.
My brother is 6 years older than me, and he's not a great big guy or anything. But I'd always, you know, wrestle around and fist fight like brothers do with him and some of his friends. And I played a lot of sports, contact sports, and football, and things like that. And, you know, so if I see a guy that's like 5'9", 165, 170. They're like sizably bigger than me. I kind of look at my eyes, a little fella over there. Guy ain't big.
You're like one of these.
You got to be pretty tall for me to look at you and be like, man, that guy's
big. So you're like one
tall.
Of these little yappy chihuahuas that's going after the Rottweiler. I see how it is. Yeah.
Well, I try to restrain myself, but I suppose so. I do. I am a little fella in the sense of, I try to be quick and get out of the way, but when it comes down to it, I don't try to get real fancy. I like to get in there and grab people.
Yeah.
Grab a hold of them and hit them, you know. Yeah. It seems to be, what works for me a lot.
And it seems to work from what I've seen.
Yeah, I'm not the most flexible guy. Mm-hmm. Plus, if you're shorter, you'll spar somebody that's a handful, a little bit taller than you. Why would I even worry about trying to kick somebody in the head? It's like, that guy's 6 feet tall. It's like kicking at your own head level is hard enough.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so to kick somebody real high like that, I mean, you really got to be flexible for it to be an effective technique. You
right.
know, there's plenty of people that can do that kind of stuff, but it's not really a practical thing to do. So. It's been a real real pleasure to be involved with that group of guys because of the camaraderie and and just how tight knit it is. All of us, like I said, most of us have been friends for going on 20 years anyway.
Yeah,
and we've all been working out with each other in karate for going on 10. So it's those are some of my best friends and
sure.
also guys that I really respect because of martial arts and things like that. So it really is, that's a hard thing to buy, that sort of tight knit group.
Yeah.
That's the thing that Mr. McClain always talks about. He always because he was really, more or less orphaned when he was kid, I don't know about if orphan is the...
But he was on his own.
He was on his own by the time
right.
he was a teenager. You know?
Right.
And he ended up living with Master Kepo.
He lived in the dojo and slept on a picnic table.
Yeah, at least for a while. Had some.
When he was 13 or 14 years old.
Had some kind of crummy job at like a dairy dip kind of burger snow cone place. Or
right, right.
And worked out 30, 40 hours a week with these guys. When we first went around over there, they didn't even want him. Trying
right.
to run him off.
Right.
Because he's such a kid.
And these were grown men. That school, especially then, and all karate, wasn't like it is now, where now you have 5-year-old six dragons, you have the tiny tykes and the little dragons. There, I mean, remember at Mr. Keppel's school, at a certain point, there was nobody allowed under, I think, 16 years old to work out. So
I think the majority of them were servicemen that had returned from Korea, was kind of that era. The Korean War.
Ex-military guys, kind of gung-ho, in good shape. And
I want to say Mr. McClain started working out with Master Keppel in 1960.
That sounds right to me. The last time I talked to him, he said that, and I remember saying something. I was like, oh, it's too bad you didn't start a few months earlier, and you could have said you've been working out since the 50s.
Yeah.
But he missed it by a couple of months.
Yeah, you could probably pass on it if you wanted to. But that was the thing, the thing that my point was is, he talks about that. He said, martial arts saved my life.
Mm.
That I wouldn't have had anybody that, anybody around or what, people care about me and things like that,
mm-hmm.
Kind of a tough position to be in. And now with, this, the commercialization of martial arts, which I don't really blame anybody for, because like you got to be able to keep the doors open.
Yeah,
you got to be able to at least have a place to work out, keep mm-hmm. the doors open, and maybe make a little bit of money off of it, let alone really make money off of
right
commercialized martial arts and franchise karate studios and things mm-hmm. like that. But the thing that we got going on over there is a converted garage out the back of his
right.
house,
right?
And and that's why it is what it is and how it is, because there's things that go on there that you just couldn't really do at most schools.
Right. And whenever you guys get out there, I mean, you're representing yourselves in the school extremely well. I mean, you like I said at the beginning, I mean, you just won the, you know, the kata championships at an international competition. So it's not like the you know, the size of the school and number of the students affects the karate. I mean, you're there doing just as much, if not more, than a lot of places.
Yeah.
And you know, in the martial arts, it gave him, for a guy who didn't have anything, kind of gave him other guys to watch out for him when he was coming up, you know, and it gave him something to do. And he did have, he ran karate schools, you know, professionally off and on the years, which gave him an income, and you know, and now he has you guys to, they're kind of been helping him out with some more personal stuff in the last few years.
Yeah, he's had some real serious health issues and things. I think he's going to be 72 in August. Mm. So, you know, but yeah, I mean, over the last, you know, 7-8 years, you know, I mean, but it you know, it's been an experience that really, really changed my life. You know, and just helped me tremendously in terms of trying to be an adult. You know, it's a lot of the same stuff that people talk about, like kids and all. It gives them a good sense of discipline and like belonging to something. And you know, and that's something Mr. McLean, since Ed McLean, still talks about. Is, you know, when we go to the tournament, national tournament up there, it's like, he says, you know, a lot of people don't have this. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have anything like this where they belong to something.
Right.
You know, and they have people that, like, maybe they're not super tight-knit with, but, you know, people that really respect them or care about them.
Yeah.
And to be a part of something is really special.
And it'll help you out and pick you up from the bus station and give you a futon to sleep on when you go to a different city.
Hey, everyone. Like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.
How was the bus trip up here?
Well, I'd taken one of the bus lines up to see a friend in Louisville, Kentucky, and
from Nashville, right?
From Nashville,
okay.
And I just realized that I was like, "Well, Cincinnati's, you know, like an hour away." It's like they had asked me, or it kind of invited me, just kind of open-endedly, "Hey, come on up whenever. It's fine. I'll get you to sleep on the couch or something." And so I sent him a text or gave him a call. I was like, "Man, I might be able to really put this together. And what do you think about that?" And he was like, "Oh, well, okay." So it actually all came together. So I stayed with my friend in Louisville for a couple of days. We had a good time. And then I hopped on another bus and rode it from Louisville up to Cincinnati. And you came and picked me up there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Here I am now.
There's some interesting characters at the bus station too. I like the woman in the American flag sequin platform shoes. Oh man.
Oh, yeah. I've been in more seedy looking circumstances in my life, but it was pretty interesting to say the least. I've had a really good time here in Cincinnati, and I've been saying to you the whole time, I never really realized the geography of Cincinnati is really like hilly kind of place. I always just thought it was more kind of flat. Well, that's Midwestern America.
That's because you've only ever driven up from Nashville to the karate school, and that's it.
That's it.
You never saw any other part of town except the stretch between the interstate and the karate school, which is just one road.
Yeah.
But now you've got to see a little topography. You have a few hills. You
walked around a little bit.
Some nice architecture.
It's a really, really nice city, the way. Way things are set up with the little town squares and such, and all the little neighborhoods.
Yeah,
makes it so it's not so centralized or all this kind of weird sprawled out thing where you got some giant mega center mall, strip malls and stuff. It makes it really a lot of character to it. So it's been a great visit. I do appreciate your hospitality.
Absolutely, I'm glad you made the trip up.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a good time riding back to Nashville in my old Honda.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
The air conditioner works, it'll be all right.
Going and working at the school the last couple of days just to work out with different people in martial arts. You know, it's when you get to working out with the same people all the time, you know, you get to throw something else at. That's what going to tournaments is really great for that, but... when you get to do that kind of on an extended basis, when you're going to be somewhere for a week and you get to work out with guys.
And you know, that's what I that's one thing that I really enjoy is going to a different school, going to a different place and doing the workout with them. If you go to a tournament in a sparring division, there's a chance you only have one match, maybe two matches. Mm. And either you're out or you've won and that's it. You know, but same thing with kata. You go and you run one kata, you get a score, and you're done. But when you go and you work out somewhere with somebody, you're going to see their routine, you're going to see their warm-ups, their workout, you're going to get to do a bunch of katas, you're going to get to fight a bunch of rounds, and it's a different kind of experience. And I really like that more than just the regular tournament stuff.
Oh, you get so much more out of it. Yeah. And the thing with the tournament stuff, which you get a little bit of if you go visit a school somewhere and work out with them, you get a little bit of an adrenaline thing because you're like, I don't want to be a chump out here or something.
Right.
I want these guys to beat me up or nothing. I got to keep myself under control and not get too hyped up and you know, get all out of control and stuff. You get a little bit of that, but at tournaments, it really, at least for me, it really turns on where you just put the blinders on and you know do your best.
Yeah,
we went to Neil and I were both yellow belts at this point. So I guess I'd been around for maybe a year or two.
Okay. So this is
six, seven years ago.
Okay.
And we took five people to this open tournament in Nashville. And we all ran kata and sparred.
Mm-hmm.
And we placed in 9 out of 10 events.
Wow.
We had like 3 first place, a couple second place, a couple third place. Mm-hmm. Really, these people, they didn't know who we were. We were all kind of ringers.
And then you went away, you disappeared and never went back. And you guys live on in legend.
I have a copy of a letter that the person that hosted that tournament sent a letter to Sensei McLean, and you know, just kind of thanking him for being there. Really, you know, seemed to be impressed with all of us. And I was like, yeah, man, Sensei, this guy really is like, he's not talking to you up here. He's like, oh yeah, of course, y'all went out there and beat everybody up, and, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much you really beat everybody up, but I remember I did like it because it was free sparring. It wasn't the Ippon sparring. Because some of that goes so quick that you line up, you clash, and then they kind of point, no point, whatever.
Right.
You know, and then you go again, and it seems very kind of unnatural and just kind of broken up. This was a free sparring thing where if you got ran out of bounds or something, they'd line you back up. But, but pretty much, I think they just kind of clicked points off.
Okay.
And Neil and myself, we ended up in the championship of the yellow belts.
Oh, nice!
Whatever kind of championship that is, but
so that's why one of you had to get second.
Yeah,
because the other guy got
exactly.
First.
And the
there's
same,
no shame in that.
Same thing. He won kata, and I took second place. And then we went through the sparring, And we ended up having, we had like a 2 minutes of free sparring or something, and then like 3 1-minute overtimes because they kept calling it a draw. And by the end of this thing, there were like all the high ranks that were there, the majority of them, a bunch of people were like around our ring. It was like third or fourth overtime. So eventually I won that.
There you go.
And Neil took second in that. So yeah, we went up there and really did well, represented well.
Yeah, of course. You guys do that wherever you go.
Yeah, it's such an experience. But man, I tell you what, Neil's a guy that's really got some good flexibility. He'll kick you right in the head.
Yeah.
No problem. And I don't see that in myself.
Well, everyone's head's so much higher than your foot.
Exactly.
So that's the
way.
That's
the yeah. But no, it's, you know, different. And that's the same thing. You can't really look at some guy. You know, same thing what I was saying about going to a different school or something. Mm-hmm. Guy that's like roughly the same build as somebody you're used to working out with. Their style of like how they, the way they'll rush you or how mm-hmm. they'll try to, you know, what sort of things that they'll do when they're sparring with you. Totally different.
Right.
Totally different. You know, so not all that's always build and height and stuff. It's, you know, just stylistically and mentality and, you know, and then the other guys that they work out with and who they train with, you know, they sort of pick up that sort of style. So it's,
yeah.
That's what that really makes it interesting. Tournaments or going to other schools or whatever, you really just see a lot of different looks, you know, that you're not used to.
Yeah.
That's how you really seem to get better, you know. That's it. Mr. McLean, that was his, seemed to be, you know, what everybody says is like, he was young, he was in his 20s, he traveled all over America and just trained with everybody.
And at that time in the 60s, there weren't that many schools. It's not like now where there's a dojo at every strip mall. He would go from state to state.
Yeah, he'd take buses and hitchhike and take rides with people. He'd go stay with Mr. Keeney in Indiana and Mr. Shelton. He'd go out to Phoenix to train with Master Trias.
Those are the days when a guy would travel halfway across the country just to learn a kata, because the only guy who knew that kata in the country, you know, lived in, you know, California. So that's where everybody would go.
Yeah. And,
and
I
he
think
was
that's,
the guy doing
that's,
that.
That's one of the things. He's really open to that sort of thing of like learning judo, aikido, and anything else. He's one of those guys like, oh, you don't need to know that stuff because whatever I'm teaching is this. And he's like, no, like those people got something, you know, like it's worth at least knowing about, like having some sort of even just very basic grasp on different things and what people are doing. And, you know, he sees the value in that and doesn't like, you know, discourage that sort of stuff. Because, yeah, exactly. You know, that whole thing in the 60s, like, there were a lot of people that knew anything.
Right.
So, if one guy knew one kata, you know, like, same thing you said, you might drive 300 miles to, like, learn wansu.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so.
So now people are spoiled. They can just watch it on YouTube.
Exactly.
But not then.
At least put it together well enough to fake it and make their own YouTube video.
Yeah, that's it.
And then explain why their version is better than the other guys.
Their version is the original.
Yeah.
More. All right, all this talk about working out. Let's go do it.
Let's go do it.
All right.
Thanks.
That's all for the first leg of my journey. Tune in on Wednesday for a show we recorded literally on the road, and a discussion about the Nashville country music scene and the story behind the new bumper music used on the last few shows. Thanks for listening. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, coworker, everyone at your dojo. your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.